back in from our first session study, let's go over point 9 once more. The believer must always remember that even though his soul is saved for all eternity, his body remains in a totally depraved condition. We are examining the verb "I'me," translated "is," and in context, and so making me a prisoner to the principle of the sinful nature which is located in my body parts. And we've noted that it is a perfective present tense, denoting the continuation of existing results, a fact which came to be in the past, notably physical birth, and emphasized as a present reality. We have a body of corruption. It will always contain the sinful nature. Point 10. Regeneration of the soul has no impact on the members of the body, and therefore the first husband is still hanging around. Now, I don't know how many of you ladies have ever tried to cut it off with a guy, an old flame, a guy you've been dating, and you've decided that, well, I'm not satisfied with this, I'm moving on. They don't want to move on, and they keep hanging around. And that's exactly the circumstance you have with the sinful nature. He is the first husband, but even after marrying Jesus Christ following your divorce, the first husband continues to hang around. And it its desire is to reestablish its control over your life. And that process is a part of what our ongoing study has revealed. But to remember the fact that he is there, that he has power once you grant it back to him, and that he can control your life for its benefit, the benefit of the body, then you can see that you're in desperate straits without the power of the Holy Spirit to override this. Point 11. Volition, which expresses positive volition, will respond to the principles of God. Volition, which expresses positive volition, will respond to the principles of God. Now, that's when doctrine has been revealed in the noose. And if you're positive, you respond to that, then the system continues to function. The Holy Spirit puts it over here into the stream of consciousness. Now, that's principles of God, not principles of the sinful nature. However, point 12. Volition, which is led astray, will respond to the principles of the sinful nature that is ever resident in their members. As you sit and think of the habits that you used to have, let's put it in past tense like it's something you've conquered. It won't be as depressing that way. But you used to have really bad wheel tracks. You used to have behavior patterns. You used to have a lifestyle that was totally opposed to the plan of God. Now I ask you, how are you going to change this lifestyle and these behavior patterns permanently with your own human energy? What you wind up doing is swapping one ball of problems for another. One of the things that, for example, occurs is with the lascivious. They go out and they prowl. They drink too much. They take drugs. They get involved in petty theft, larceny, any kind of thing you can imagine they get involved in. And suddenly a light shines from somewhere and says, you're really leading a bad life. You ought to change. Now, the human mind can come to grips with the fact they're making bad decisions and they need to change. And one of the things that is often done is a switch from a lascivious lifestyle to an ascetic lifestyle. I'm going to clean my life up. And so they become very, very self-righteous. And the fact that they no longer steal, rape, maim, and pillage to them says to the world, I've really changed my life. And I'm a wonderful person now. And they look down on those who haven't conquered these problems. And there's really been no spiritual impact here at all. You've just swapped from being a reversionistic, lascivious person to a reversionistic, ascetic person. But there's no spiritual transformation. Therefore, all of the wheel tracks are in place, and now you have a bouquet of wheel tracks. Some are lascivious, some are ascetic. And just the right kind of pressures from the devil's world could make either one of them pop up. Now, to give you an example of how this can occur, how you can have a person who is lascivious on the one hand and ascetic on the other, and all of that suppressed, and he's trying to promote one as against the other, but he just can't quite keep them under control. And so, this is the story, and I'm not making this up. When I was in North Carolina, I heard this. As you walk through a room and the television's going, you think you hear something and you're not quite sure you heard it. Especially when it's something very bizarre. You think, well, I didn't get all of that. But someone tells me today that, yeah, what you heard was true. Here's the story. Somewhere in America, God only knows where, there was this Bible verse quoting contest. You know a sword drill. If you've ever been in the Baptist church, the children line up on the stage and one of the adults stands there and says, Romans 8:28. And everybody madly flips through their Bibles, and the first one to get to Romans 8:28 wins that portion of the contest. So you have a seek and find portion of a sword drill. And then you put the Bibles away in the second half, and then it's all quoting. Romans 8:28, and the first one to pop his hand up and can accurately quote the verse out of the King James, well, they win that particular round. That is a sword drill. Now, apparently there's this sword drill going on somewhere with two adults involved. And they're going back and forth, apparently, in a Bible-quoting portion. Quote this verse, and then rap. Man A says the verse, and the other guy comes and he says his verse. Sort of like a spelling bee. And you keep going until somebody drops the ball, and one of them wins, the other loses. And it turns out that one of these men, the man who lost, became so enraged at having lost, he pulled himself a weapon from his pocket and murdered his opponent. I am not making this up. So you have a man who is completely ascetic, quotes Bible verses, even in a contest. He qualified for a contest. And he's up there and he finishes second, for Pete's sakes. You'd think he'd be happy about that. But no, he is enraged over having lost and he goes lascivious on us. He pulls his weapon and eliminates his opponent. You can't get away from the sinful nature. And you can't get away from your wheel tracks. You can't get away from your behavior patterns. You can't get away from it unless you have divine power to do it. And given the right circumstances, you are going to do what you do. And you're not going to change. Not without divine power. Not without divine thought. Not without divine problem-solving devices, which does not include murder. Unless, of course, you're at war, which then it is a perfect problem-solving device. You pile up the bodies till they blot out the sun. But that was not the case in a Bible-quoting contest. Regeneration of the soul has no impact on the members of the body, and therefore the first husband is still hanging around. Volition, which expresses positive volition, will respond to the principles of God. However, volition, which is led astray, will respond to the principles of the sinful nature that is ever resident in his members. Point 13. Until you admit you have an enemy within, you will always be vulnerable to a coup d'etat. Always vulnerable to a coup d'etat. And the enemy is within, and you have to admit that, and you are your enemy. Your body is. And Paul's saying, it's not me that's doing it, it's the sinful nature. What is it that actually produces the sin? It is the body. The soul doesn't produce the actual commission of the sin. The nuts and bolts of what you do. That's the body, the sinful nature, the brain. The decision, the responsibility, the culpability is in the soul, found with the volition. But volition gives permission and the brain simply does what it's ordered to do, and the brain is a member of the body. The body is actually what produces the sin. So until you admit you have the enemy within, you will always be vulnerable to a coup d'etat. 14. Failure to orient and adjust to this reality means that you are constantly being defeated, while at the same time your arrogance deceives you into thinking that you are spiritual, serving God. Now, I don't know if pulling off around into your opponent's head is classified as spiritual, serving God, but apparently this guy got confused along the way. Failure to orient and adjust. He didn't do that. I mean, some win, some lose. Did he go into that contest? Why even have this contest if he insisted on winning? Why didn't he just announce from the get-go, look, I'm winning the damn contest. Yeah, you know, and I'm going to blow away anybody that finishes ahead of me and be forewarned. And I think everybody else would say, well, Fred, you can have the trophy, man. I'm going to go back to the house. It seems to me he would have thought through that. But now he's got court, he's got juries, he's got jail, electric chair, who knows? Is it worth this? Is being able to accurately quote John 8:28 worth this in the King James? Failure to orient and adjust to this reality, the reality of the ever-present coup d'etat, means that you are constantly being defeated while at the same time your arrogance deceives you into thinking that you're spiritual, serving God. Let's note our verse again, Romans 7:23. But I see a different kind of principle in my body parts, laying siege in a campaign against the principle of my mind, and so making me a prisoner to the principle of the sinful nature, which is located in my body parts. Point 15. Before we summarize this verse, it is important for us to be reminded of a parallel passage. The parallel passage on the very subject of Romans 7:23. And it has to do with the warfare that goes on for control of the soul. Please turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Now, I have done a little exegetical work on this. I've been quoting it from just, I think, the New American Standard. But a little exegesis, because we're now at Romans 7:23, and Galatians 5:16 and 17 is a parallel passage to that, and will amplify some of the things we've studied this morning. Verse 16 says, always walk. Now there, the word for walk is peripateo. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. And it's translated walk, and that is good, and that has to do with wheel tracks of righteousness or execution of the Christian way of life. Always walk. That's your day-by-day plod-away process of executing the plan of God from doctrine in the soul. And it brings that out as to how it's done. Always walk by means of the Holy Spirit. That means His mentorship in every category of His teaching and guiding process. By means of the Holy Spirit. And you will never submit. Get that. You will never submit to the temptations of the lust pattern. Epithumia. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A. Now that's the word for lust pattern. There is the SWAT team. Always walk by means of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you will never submit to the temptations of the lust pattern, the SWAT team. Now verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are those which are opposed by the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Holy Spirit are those which are opposed by the flesh. The two are in constant warfare against each other. Antikemai. A-N-T-I-K-E-I-M-A-I. And that's antikemai. This word means, it's a noun, it can be a verb, adversary, antagonist, opponent. The noun form is enemy. Now, enemies are at war. And in this context, it is constant warfare. Now, what's at war? The sinful nature and its desires are in constant warfare against the Holy Spirit and its desires. With the result that you cannot do the thing you desire to do. Now, is that not frustrating? Did that not put it right out on the table and tell you that you have lost? Is what it said. Always walk by means of the Holy Spirit, and you will never submit to the temptations of the lust pattern. Now that gets you in the divine power system, filling of the Holy Spirit, utilizing an inventory of ideas based on Bible doctrine. And when you, with positive volition, maintain this environment, and you're free to leave it anytime you want to, but you're free to stay. When from your positive volition you choose to never leave this environment, then you will never submit to the temptations of the lust pattern. Now, all these bombardments can come in, but you've got your defense department out there and you fight off the SWAT team. How? Can't penetrate it under the power of the Spirit. Then verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are those which are opposed by the Holy Spirit. The desires of the Holy Spirit are those which are opposed by the flesh. The two are in constant warfare against each other, with the result that you cannot do the thing you desire to do. You cannot do it. That's who can't do it. You can. The Holy Spirit, you can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit, utilizing the Word of God in your soul. But you can't do it. Summary, verse 23. Point one. Volition is the characteristic of the soul which must be corrupted in order for the sinful nature to reestablish its original status of power and authority. So you hold the key. The old sin nature's power is broken. It cannot get control over your life anymore unless you give permission. Volition is the characteristic of the soul which must be corrupted in order for the sinful nature to reestablish its original status of power and authority. Can you imagine leaving a benevolent, gracious second husband and going back to a tyrannical first husband? As I understand it, it's not uncommon for women to do this. It happens. And it sure happens with us in the spiritual realm. We commit menage a trois all the time with our first husband. Point two. When your volition is tempted by the sinful nature's lust patterns, you are unprepared if all you have is doctrine in your noose. You're unprepared. When your volition is tempted by the sinful nature's lust patterns, you are unprepared if all you have is doctrine in your noose. Three. Only when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, with doctrinal defenses stationed on the front line of the soul, are you prepared to do battle. I'm telling you, the man in the contest only had doctrine in the noose. If ever there was an example of noose breakdown, it's that story. Lord, I hope I can find that in a magazine so I can come in here and quote the source. Because this was heard by both me and Tim on a broadcast source. His radio, mine, TV. I want it printed and I'll bring it here and I'll document. You don't believe this. I know you don't believe it. But when I can find it in print, I'm going to bring it and read it and quote the source. Only when you're filled with the Holy Spirit with doctrinal defenses stationed on the flat line of the soul, are you prepared to do battle? Four. successful defense against lust pattern attack only comes from long-term memory traces in the cerebral cortex. Successful defense against lust pattern attack only comes from long-term memory traces in the cerebral cortex. Now that's wheel tracks of righteousness. That's the only way you can successfully defend your soul against the lust patterns. Now you don't have that in the news. There are no long-term memory traces of doctrinal storage in the news. Now you can get a lot of human garbage over there, and you can recall a lot of doctrinal information from human recall, but it does not have the power of the Spirit, and it doesn't have His power and application, and thus it is useless to you. You will always submit to the path of least resistance. So successful defense against lust pattern attack only comes from long-term memory traces in the cerebral cortex. And we've come to call that wheel tracks of righteousness. Five. While filled with the Holy Spirit, these wheel tracks of righteousness cannot be defeated in the spiritual conflict. Now I reference you back to Galatians 5:16. Can't be defeated in the spiritual conflict. There is an impenetrable fortress constructed in your soul under the enabling power of the Spirit, and through positive volition, that environment can be maintained indefinitely. However, point six, when volition is led astray by the temptations of the lust pattern, see that sin nature, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you're in status quo spirituality, does not mean the SWAT team is neutralized. It means the sin nature no longer has control over your soul. It does not mean that the sinful nature is not functional and therefore doesn't utilize the SWAT team to bombard your soul constantly. And when you step outside, see, that's why we have the crooked line on this diagram. Let me pull it out again. The crooked line is important. Clean up my house. See, I need some house cleaning so you can see this. Over here, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got positive volition to the doctrine that's in your stream of consciousness. Now, this assault is going on constantly, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit, status quo spirituality, and you're firing orders to the cerebral cortex to execute wheel tracks of righteousness, which you do. All this time, this assault is going on and you're being successful in defending it. Now, when the old sin nature steps up to the plate here and fires off this SWAT team, the volition over here must consider that. And these temptations cause this to click from positive to negative. And in order to sin, you have to remove yourself from the environment of the divine power system. And negative volition is what puts you outside, and that is where you sin. You can't sin in here. You have to sin out here. And what is it that moves you outside the environment? It is your negative volition. That is being led astray. That's that first leg there. Led astray by the temptation, and having been led astray, then you give the order to the brain to commit the sin. That's when this arrow moves from down in here up to control of the soul. The sinful nature has a successful coup d'etat. He's inside, and leadership, rulership, dictatorial authority has been reestablished over your life. So, while filled with the Holy Spirit, these wheel tracks of righteousness cannot be defeated in the spiritual conflict. However, point six, when volition is led astray by the temptations of the lust pattern, then any doctrinal thought available in the conscious mind is reduced to gnosis status and is therefore ineffectual. When volition is led astray by the temptations of the lust pattern, then any doctrinal thought available in the conscious mind is reduced to gnosis status, and therefore is ineffectual. When you go negative volition, you have gone through a metanoeo process. You're saying, no, doctrine is not the right thing to do here. A human viewpoint idea is the best thing to do here. I think the temptation has validity, and I am going to go with that. It is a thought process. If you go metanoeo toward a wheel track of wickedness and say, I'm going to do the right thing, then a change takes place in your brain and in your soul. Likewise, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you are led astray by temptation from the sinful nature, you also have a metanoeo process. I have been going with a doctrinal thought, and I have been presented with this new information that really is appealing to me, and that's what I'm going with right now. Metanoeo. I change my mind about doctrine, and positive switches to negative. You come out here and you sin. Now, you believe what you did is okay. You rationalize it. You self-justify it. Whatever mental process you go through, you've done it and you're putting up with it. Now, how are you going to recover from that? You have to do the same thing all over again and say while you're down in this madness here, I'm wrong again. And then it's homologeo. You confess the sin and you're back on this side of the chart. And this warfare goes on all day long. Please see. When the volition is led astray by the temptations of the lust pattern, then any doctrinal thought available in the conscious mind is reduced to gnosis status. Why? It does not have the enabling power of the Spirit. It's simply human recall and therefore human application. It gets contorted, distorted. It is useless, and it is easily overridden in the noose by the sinful nature. And therefore, it's ineffectual. 7. There it becomes the target of deception, demon influence, and false doctrine. And doctrine in the noose is easily contorted and distorted by these sources. Deception, demon influence, and false doctrine. You lose. The only way to recover is another metanoeo process of saying, hey, I'm wrong again. Can you develop a sense of humor about this? You need to, because it gets very frustrating that you do this hopscotch routine all day long every day. I mean, you could just say, well, to hell with it. Well, you can't do that. You have to continue to press the attack. And that's why you went so far in reversionism during the vacation. It was not, you didn't come here to gas up, you see. You had a little more power in your soul. It was just, well, I'm going to relax. I'm going to clean the house, wash the car, do this, that, and the other. And no doctrinal intake unless you hoarded some tapes and did that. And now you're back. And now we're having to have this reorientation session. Oh, yeah, I remember now what I'm to do here. And a couple of more sessions, we'll be back rolling. Momentum will have returned for the positive. But during that downtime, you're very susceptible to deception, to demon influence, and to false doctrine. 8. Doctrine in the noose is easily defeated, and the believer is again captured and held hostage to his first husband. Captured and held hostage to his first husband. 9. It is God's intent for us to become spiritually self-sustaining. You don't need to depend on anyone else other than God, of course, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. God's who you depend on. Don't need anybody else. Now, a lot of people do, in the sense that they have opted against God's solutions for man's solutions. And if you get out there in the devil's world, make poor decisions, get yourself in a big barrel of trouble, and you do not consider God's solutions to be applicable, then you must go with man's solution. And that's what keeps psychoanalysts in business. Seems that having a whole lot of money, I mean barrelfuls of money, does not solve some problems. Every time you read a story about one of these high-powered Hollywood stars that's got, they charge like a truck full of money to do a movie. And they have anything they want, go anywhere they want to. And they get interviewed, and they're in Parade magazine or something. Have a whole page there, this one person every week. And they always interview this person. What are you doing now? What you been up to? What movies are you making? And somewhere in the context, usually, there's always this statement. There's money, but they don't have any thought by which they can live their life. And so they have to go to psychoanalysts, and my point is that's the world's solution to problem solving. And they got the money to go get a psychiatrist and put him on retainer at the house. Wake up every morning for therapy. It doesn't do any good. It's God's intent for us to become spiritually self-sustaining. 10. Acquisition of divine thought in the cardia, initiated by positive volition and metabolized by the power of the Holy Spirit, is what develops this spiritual self-sustenance. Acquisition of divine thought in the cardia. That's spiritual self-sustenance. And the acquisition of a lot of it means the more you get, the more self-sustaining you become. However, 11. The system does not permit divine truth to enter directly into the stream of consciousness without volitional consent. The system does not permit divine truth to enter directly into the stream of consciousness without volitional consent. The angelic conflict is waged around volition. And think of this. God has divine truth. He is the source of it. And if He is going to make it available to us, we must acquire it from a positive volition. He is not going to energize this if we are playing games with Him. And these guys in the little quoting contest were playing games. They were not in that for the glory of Christ or for God or doctrine. They wanted the trophy. At least one guy did. Wanted the trophy. Wanted the recognition. Wanted the applause from the congregation. Brother Fred is the most spiritual king of the mountain. And that's all he wanted. And he was willing to kill to get it. The system does not permit divine truth to enter directly into the stream of consciousness without volitional consent. You must agree with God before you have this power. 12. This means that divine truth, academically understood, must be considered by the volition while in the noose. This means that divine truth, academically understood, must be considered by the volition while in the noose. Thirteen. As part of the mentality of the soul, the noose is linked with the association cortex of the brain. As part of the mentality of the soul, the noose is linked with the association cortex of the brain. 14. Doctrine responded to by faith in the noose is then transferred by the power of the Holy Spirit into the cardia. Doctrine responded to by faith in the noose is then transferred by the power of the Holy Spirit into the cardia. 15. There, it is distributed to the 7 compartments of the stream of consciousness and stored as long-term memory traces in the cerebral cortex of the brain. There it is distributed to the 7 compartments of the stream of consciousness and stored as long-term memory traces in the cerebral cortex of the brain. 16. The sinful nature has great success in preventing this transfer from occurring by means of its lust patterns, trends, and available wheel tracks of wickedness. The sinful nature has great success in preventing this transfer from occurring by means of its lust patterns, trends, and available wheel tracks of wickedness. And finally today, 17, failure to make the transfer of truth from the noose to the cardia results in spiritual ignorance. Spiritual ignorance. And that presents a problem for the cardia, as you can obviously see. Well, we're in the middle of our analysis of verse 23, and unfortunately we have about 10 more points to do. Not enough time for that this morning, so we will resume at this point on Tuesday evening. Father, we are grateful for the privilege of studying the Scripture. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would make it real to us, to challenge our volition, and that we would agree with You that Your viewpoint, Your principles, Your doctrines are absolutely and totally correct, and therefore become a benefit to us as we utilize it in our problem solving and our decision making. May we be motivated by the idea that with Your thought in our souls, we can conquer life, we can solve our problems, and we can glorify You as a result. And we lift our prayers in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai reine, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu, to Kuriu Hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.